There's no better place to do all of your online shopping than Amazon.chun. I mean, .com. .com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back. It is the return, the triumphant return of the SNL recap, and we're going to get into everything from the Bruce Willis episode of Saturday Night Live, plus the previous weeks with Miley Cyrus and Tina Fey, and here to help us break it all down is our resident SNL expert. Here he is, Rich Tackenberg.
Mr. Sesternino, thanks for having me back.
Yes, Rich, it is good to have you back. And I know the SNL podcast had sort of, got lost in the shuffle with the whole thing with having a baby, but we are back in the mix. I got a lot of requests. Hey, where is the SNL podcast? And here it is.
Not a moment too soon. So much to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. So, Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. A lot of changes since we talked last. So doing well and excited to be kicking off season 39, which is so 39 years of television. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like this is weird because I talk to you all the time, but in podcast time, it's like, how was your summer?
Exactly. I started working for some cool new people, and it's been really great. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rich, let's... there were so many changes that happened. There was such a big bloodletting on the show where you want to give us a rundown all the people that we lost from season to season.
So, coming into this season, we've lost Fred Armisen, no love lost there, Bill Hader, Jason Sudeikis, and we're coming off of the season prior where we lost Kristen Wiig and Andy Samberg. So in two seasons, we're down five of the most significant players on SNL. So big year of rebuilding, bringing on six featured players, which hasn't happened in, so long where we've had this big of an infusion of new cast members. When we know we're going to be losing Seth Meyers at Christmas time so he can go off and do late night, so we're going to be losing him as well. So really big year of change this year.
Okay, so we have a lot of new people. We've promoted a lot of people from within, and so we'll talk about a lot about some of the new things that we've noticed. But in fairness, through three episodes, would you say that not a big contribution from any of the new cast members?
I would say, what's interesting? I would say in the live stuff that we've seen, there hasn't been a big contribution, maybe Beck Bennett a little bit. But I would say in the pre-taped sketches, we're seeing even some of the stuff happening in the sort of 12:50 a.m. We're seeing some really good work from some of the new guys. So I'm cautiously optimistic so far.
All right. Well, let's get into Bruce Willis. And first off, could I ask, why is Bruce Willis hosting Saturday Night Live? Is he promoting something?
He was not promoting anything. I don't know if he's just aware that he's becoming a little bit of a joke, and he had that sort of big PR fap with the Expendables 3 and Sylvester Stallone. So I'm wondering if maybe it was like, what do I do to get my street cred back or something? It was definitely an odd timing for him to show up.
Yeah, it was just sort of like, he said that there was six diehards that he's done since last time he hosted Saturday Night Live. I just assumed there was another diehard coming out.
Just if you just wait long enough, there will be another Die Hard. Yeah. I wonder if he's now in that air where he feels like it would be lame to come on SNL to promote a movie. So let me come on SNL before I have a movie to promote. So I'm back in the swing of things with the kids without looking like I'm pandering. I don't know.
And we see this sometimes where people who are, have a very extensive career just happen to show up once in a while and host the show. So I guess that was the case with Bruce Willis.
Probably. And I will give it to Bruce that, and we'll talk about in specific sketches where he showed it, he gave 110%. I mean, he's not the best cue card reader, but there were some very silly sketches where I think if we can still call him an A-list celebrity, at least someone who's been an A-list celebrity, might not have wanted to look that silly. And he really committed 100%. So I may not be the biggest Bruce Willis fan, but I'll give him props for jumping in feet first this weekend.
All right. So the first sketch of the week, Rich, was the spoof on gravity tied into the government shutdown. And while I like to keep I just wanted to state this for anybody who listens. I don't want to talk politics at all about any of the politics of the government shutdown. We are only talking about the merits of the comedy sketch put forth by Saturday Night Live.
Well, I love this sketch. I thought it was great. And I have not seen the movie Gravity. I have not paid attention to anything going on politically with the government shutdown. So I am the worst candidate to find this sketch funny. And yet I thought it was great. I just love, they don't do this a lot in cold openings where the sketch really turns. There's a real twist in the sketch. So we go from it being Gravity to we turn till we see Carl the janitor played by Keenan. And we realize it's actually a government shutdown bit. Not a Gravity sketch. So I thought overall this was really fun. I like this a lot.
And I thought it was a really, really fun idea, but I just felt like then it didn't go anywhere because it was like they had the whole thing. And then once you see the cut to NASA, I said, oh, okay, I get it. Government shutdown. And but then, you know, there was no other than, you know, a little bit of interplay with Keenan and then the, you know, Ukrainian woman that Kate McKinnon was playing, who seems right. like the same character that she played on Weekend Update. That was the same character that Tina Fey played on Girls. We had just basically, there was no finish to the joke, I felt like.
Well, you know, I'll agree to disagree. I thought the whole Carl thing, when they're asking for coordinates and he just starts taking a message, I'll tell NASA that Janet called. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, Janet from space.
Janet from space called. I mean, you're totally right that Kate McKinnon has played this character like five times, but I love when she's talking about her son Star Trek's Deep Nine Spaces and Babelgun Spechtle. Like, that whole thing was very funny. So, and it was short, so I thought it was a nice. I really liked that.
Yeah, I also liked Keenan's suggestion to, like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, if they start to burn.
I thought, by the way, very interesting that they use Cicely Strong for this sketch, given that she's doing Weekend Update. She, you know, we're not seeing Vanessa Bayer. We're not seeing Nassim Pedrad, some of the older, you know, the older, you know, stalwarts on the female side of the cast. I thought it was very telling that this is really going to be, so that they're going to her kind of for everything. Unless it's a specific impression that she is the go-to female. She was a featured player last year, and I think she's going to be the person that they are going to poise to be the breakout female star this year. We'll see what happens.
Did you feel like maybe it was because they felt like she looked the most like Sandra Bullock?
Well, that's what I first thought, but it does seem consistent that they're giving her a lot of key stuff during the show. So we'll see. But I would mark my words. I bet they're going to really sort of earmark her as kind of the lead female in almost everything they do.
All right. So then we come into the monologue, and here comes Bruce Willis, and not really a lot going on. We got Bobby Moynihan, who claims to be the baby from Look Who's Talking, which I thought was a funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have harmonica time.
Yeah, least surprise of the night was that Bruce Willis wanted to play harmonica. You know, 20-something years have gone by, and yet Bruce Willis still has to play monologue in the opening bit. That was an unfortunate little boredom. But you know what? So many of these monologues are such sort of thrown together bad comedy pieces that we get a little blues harmonica and then Bobby Moynihan with some funny jokes. I thought, you know what? You know, there are worse ways to do monologues on SNL.
What, do you recall the 1989 monologue from Bruce Willis?
Yes, I remember. I think he sang as well. This was when he had his band. If you remember, if you're old enough to remember that he had his band, which the name I will not pull without Googling. But that was a very big deal for him at the time.
Was this around the time that he also launched Planet Hollywood?
That could be. Yeah, absolutely. That could be.
Okay. Yeah. So, harmonica playing, and Nicole said this as we were watching this. She said, is anybody really impressed with a harmonica? Is it even a real instrument?
Yeah, it's kind of the fake instrument, I think, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit, a little bit like, okay.
So Nicole was not impressed.
I think she's probably made the right call on that.
All right. So we had a commercial parody. Which was the 24-hour energy drink for dating actresses. I thought this was a very funny idea.
I thought this was probably my favorite commercial parody of the year. I will, like you, I will say A for premise, execution B, but still just really funny. And I understand that there may be many people in the country who don't know any actresses, who for whom this just seems self-indulgent and they don't relate to this. But and I've never dated an actress, but having been friends and continued to be friends with many actresses, I was on the floor laughing at this. My wife and I thought this was one of the funniest things ever. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very funny. And I don't think it was anything that was that hard to wrap your head around. Like, I don't understand. Why would, you know, I thought they illustrated all the reasons why it would be exhausting to date an actress. So I felt
but
like...
But I wonder if you don't know and you're not friends with actresses, if you would get it, but if you wouldn't really know why that is an exhausting life to live, to, you know, to be around that energy. I just really, I don't know. I thought it may be something that that wouldn't play to people. But you may be right.
No, I thought it was very funny. And what did you think of the last beat of 24-hour energy drink for dating a comedian?
It was the perfect button, and I also wish that was a whole commercial unto itself, because that could be just as funny. So
you would have rather seen that broken out into its own commercial later in the show?
Yeah, I think that would have been, in my ideal world, you know, we could have come back to that after update with a 30-second commercial of just that, because that would have been fantastic. Maybe even more inside baseball than dating actresses, but still hilarious.
You ever drink a 5-hour energy drink?
I've always avoided them like the plague. They just seem disgusting to me.
I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think the bottle was off. The size was like it was almost like a small airplane bottle size of cranberry juice, as opposed to the normal bottle of the 5-hour energy drink.
Rob, this was a 24-hour energy drink for dating actresses. You can't fit that in a 5-hour bottle. You need that kind of volume.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I also do wonder that as this sketch goes around the internet, and I know I'll be posting it tomorrow morning, I do wonder if you knew the name of the sketch, if it would actually be that funny, because I think that the way that they laid out the guys being tired and starting to bring and then hitting with sort of dating actresses, I wonder if surprise is really going to be a key component to finding this funny. So I'll be interested in the comment section to see who maybe had already seen the title of the sketch online and then watched it, if they found it as funny as we did. But I thought definitely sketch of the night and maybe sketch of the, or at least definitely commercial parody of the season.
Okay. So then we come back from a break and we get Bruce Willis and company in an army barracks, and where everybody's getting their orders, and Bruce Willis is sort of would you say breaking the fourth wall and referencing like his action hero characters, or, but basically,
he's playing the John McClane character within a Navy SEAL group and talking about his life being, you know, the movie version of a black ops kind of person.
Yeah. What did you think of this?
I thought it was concept I would give B or B plus. I thought in execution, I thought it was unfortunately pretty rough. I'm sort of putting it in the C category. And I don't really blame Bruce Willis, because I think that obviously this was a case where you could tell he was reading off cue cards. But I felt like given that, the writers really should have pared down his little mini monologues because it was hard to understand what he was saying. Sometimes it was confusing what was going on. When it was shorter, I thought he was better. So I was more like, oh, this was a cute idea. Maybe 90 seconds into it, I was waiting for the sketch to end.
Did you feel like it was saved by Bobby Moynihan?
Again, scene stealer of the week. Here's my call for him stealing the show, as he does every time. Just that whole, you know, between him and then Beck Bennett stepping up as kind of the Jason Sudeikis role of the straight man, you know, head of the military. So Bobby Moynihan, you have a knife in your boot, Montrose! I thought that was, that definitely brought the energy back to the sketch.
I liked it when he was talking about how the guy bent down to go pick something up, and I forget who it was that was second guessing him, that was saying, wait, so the guy just picked something up off the floor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I thought Keenan was funny in this sketch too. I have to give credit to Keenan. I thought he was good tonight.
Keenan had a pretty good, I will give you that. And you know, I'm a big Keenan hater, but he had a couple of really good things tonight. Not necessarily the next sketch we're about to talk about.
Okay, then maybe we might disagree on this. So we had this sketch set in the barbershop with Keenan and Jay Farrow and Bruce Willis as people who are hair cutters.
Right. Yeah, the old barbershop. I felt like this was a sketch that started as one thing and in the rewrite process got really muddied. I think the fact that they had as extras, they had two old black gentlemen each getting their hair cut by the two, you know, black actors, and then Bobby Moynihan as a white guy having his hair cut by the white barber, Bruce Willis, felt like it started as a very kind of old black barber stereotype versus the white guy stereotype. And instead, it sort of got kind of milquetoast, and it sort of turned into this Bruce Willis is just a boring guy and he doesn't know how to tell stories. So I just was kind of lost in this. I would bet that people liked Keenan and Jay Farrow's characters. I did not. I bet we will see these two again. So it was kind of a miss for me.
Yeah, I did like them. I thought it was enjoyable. I wouldn't say that I felt like it was hilarious, but I felt like, okay, that was interesting. And, you know, I wish I could remember more of what Bruce Willis's stories were. Helen Hunt. She's really good looking. He was going to a Sheryl Crow concert. I wasn't like dying, but I felt like I enjoyed these characters.
Good. Well, you know, I like to see people liking stuff. The one thing I will say again, a nod to Keenan, which you rarely hear me say on this podcast, is if for some reason you're going back and watching it, watch him cut the guy's hair, because I love that instead of half-assing it, he just completely half-asses it, and he's intentionally just going over the top. It's almost like space work in an improv scene, mm-hmm. and it's just so silly that that really made me laugh. I thought that was Keenan's commitment to just being the dopey guy cutting hair was very funny.
Jay Farrow drinking the blue stuff that the comb goes in and no mention of that.
I felt like this sketch was overwritten to death, because that was such a funny thing, but it got lost in the shuffle because I thought that was a very funny moment.
Yeah. Was there any difference between Jay Farrow as the hair cutter and Jay Farrow's character of the high school principal?
You know, or the sports thing that he did last week during the Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharp. Yeah. I feel like we're falling into a little bit like we all his impressions are excellent, but his characters, they're all just becoming a lot of spittle and there's a lot of that going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's his thing. He's calling that as his niche on the show.
Yeah. But when he started drinking the blue stuff, I really that was the biggest laugh from me from this.
Yes, totally agree. Totally agree.
Okay, so Rich, what did you think of the boy dance party?
You know, this is an interesting. I mean, it felt like we're sort of back to, this was probably the closest thing to the old SNL digital shorts with the Lonely Island guys. I'll say I thought this was in premise, this was a B at best, but in execution, maybe an A. I thought it was really fun. It was really silly. I love that Bruce Willis completely committed to looking like a complete moron throughout it. And I thought everyone did a really nice job. The song was kind of catchy, was very well edited. This was directed by Matt and Oz. They're two of the in-house directors who've done a number of the recent pre-tape sketches that have been very funny. So, you know, they did some really good work. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah. This will probably go on to be a very big hit on YouTube. People will probably repost this quite a bit. It wasn't my personal cup of tea, but I can understand why people like the boy dance party.
Yeah, I think I sort of feel the same as you. I feel like this is something that probably everybody will love for 7 days, and in repeats, it will be completely forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had the dance party, and then any memorable moments in particular that you want to highlight?
The only thing that I really liked is during the dance party when Vanessa Bayer walks back in and they all freeze, but Keenan continues to spray Bobby Moynihan in the face with the silly string while they're talking. That made me laugh.
Yeah, that was funny.
good use of twerking, good use of shaking around your junk. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
And in general,
are you surprised that they were allowed to show the shake your sack?
Sack. That was it. Yeah. Shake your sack. Yeah. Yeah. It was a little on the line there. I liked it.
All right.
And I did like Vanessa Bayer as the stereotypical married to football wife kind of performance. I thought that really set it up well, and that brought it home well. That kind of stuff is I think sometimes the details really make it a lot better.
Okay, so one more sketch before update. We have the Lady Gaga talk show.
This might be the worst Vanessa Bayer impression I think she's ever done. I don't even know. Was she trying to even do Lady Gaga? I don't know. I thought this was a tough sketch for me across the board.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the worst sketches of the show. I just felt like this is like I feel like you would go to like a comedy class and see this sketch. I don't know if there would seem like there was no. It was just seemed like it was like evergreen, like talk about Lady Gaga. There was nothing topical about why they're doing this sketch at this point in time. And it was not such a funny impression of Lady Gaga that, I wasn't feeling this one.
No. And it was very strange. They brought Kate McKinnon on to do her Penelope Cruz impression, which we had seen, I think, on her very first show when Sofia Vergara, they had done a Pantene commercial. So which is fine. We often see, actors do the same impressions. But then they did the exact same routine as they had done in the Pantene commercial, where she has to read these like weird ingredients. Well, Sofia Vergara had very easy words to say. So it was just kind of a weird like cut and paste from an old sketch from a year and a half ago. So that was very, very odd to me.
Is that one of Kate McKinnon's like go-to sketches that she auditioned for the show for? Or
yes.
Penelope Cruz like saying hard to pronounce things?
I think that anytime you show up in your very first episode as a featured player doing an impression, you can almost guarantee that it's one of the impressions you did in your audition.
Okay. So yeah. Hopefully we don't see any more Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think we can, move that. And then I assume, Rob, you want to spend a good half hour talking about the musical guest. I think that's our Kate, which
I did watch this because it's a musical guest that I've heard of and a song that I've heard on the radio, I will watch the musical act from Katy Perry.
And was this Katy Perry doing the music video for What Does the Fox Say?
I think so.
I was very confused by that. Yes. I didn't know what we were doing.
No, we were very engaged because Katy Perry has decorated the set for SNL to do her musical performance exactly the same way that I've decorated my son's nursery. So I was very, very impressed with Katy Perry. Yes.
That's very nice. Yeah. Yeah. I thought, I like the song. I like her. I thought this was nice. I didn't think it had the same oomph that the MTV Music Awards had when she did the song. It's usually done in a boxing theme when she did the iTunes Festival and other things I've seen online. But yeah. But by the way, as an aside, very surprising that we did not see Katy Perry do a cameo in one of the sketches this week.
Yes. Do you think that she was off-put, that she wasn't the main host?
Yes, I definitely think so.
Then why do the show?
Because she's got an album to promote.
Okay,
you got an album dropping. You got to move some discs. Do people still buy discs? I don't know.
Would you have rather seen Katy Perry host the show instead of Bruce Willis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her. I think she's funny. And by the way, Bruce Willis was fine.
When did Katy Perry host the show?
I will tell you that very quickly. When did Katy Perry? Was it last season? Let's see, season 38.
Anything memorable from her previous hosting stint?
I don't think so. I mean, I think maybe Katy Perry was season 37. I think, the only thing very memorable was in Katy Perry was the musical guest in the season 36, and she wore the Elmo thing on the Bronx beat.
Yes.
She hosted in December of 2011. I don't think there was anything all that great that she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Weekend Update is back.
Yes, so a lot to talk about. Weekend Update co-hosted by Cecily Strong. What's your three-episode take of Cecily co-hosting with Seth?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good. I have no complaints. I mean, I haven't been like, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for. And I've thought, you know, I haven't thought it was bad either. I think it's been solidly okay.
Yeah, I'm very happy that he has a co-host, and I think that they have a good rapport together. I think it's interesting, you know, we've picked someone who ultimately is going to take over as a solo who does not have a stand-up background. Now, obviously, neither did Amy Poehler when she, you know, when she stepped in. So I think right now, early days in, I think Cicely's good. I think there's a couple of sort of punchlines that she's not delivering like a comic would. She's delivering like they were the funny line in a sketch or in an improv scene. But that's not to really bag on her. I just think that she will get better quickly. I think we'll look back on these episodes and go, oh, actually, she wasn't that great at the beginning. I think she's going to get there. So ideally, you know, I would love to see her have a co-host for Weekend Update even when Seth leaves. But I think she's doing pretty good.
So, yeah, what do you think is going to happen after Seth Meyers leaves? Do you think that somebody will replace Seth, or do you think that Cicely will take over herself?
Well, the two things that I've been reading about is, one, the original thing was that she's just going to take over herself. And then the other thing that's been floated, and I think this was either by Seth or by Lorne Michaels, was maybe, especially in the early days, that Seth just continues hosting Weekend Update on Saturdays while he hosts late night Mondays through Thursdays. And that's not an inconceivable possibility. He has said in many interviews that when it comes to Weekend Update, he, as a writer and producer, he does not do much of the heavy lifting. Alex Bays and the rest of the producers do most of the writing through the week for it. So if NBC felt like the best way to sort of promote Seth was to have him do double duty for the rest of the season, it is possible. And they don't tape late night on Fridays. They, you know, like most of the shows now, they tape five shows over the Monday through Thursday. He could, if he wanted to, he could come in and just continue hosting Weekend Update. So I would say that's probably more likely than we think.
Do you want to see that happen?
I would like to see someone else take over. I'd like to see the torch passed. I think I would be a little concerned to see Cicely Strong hosted by herself right now. But I would say that about probably almost any one person. I think that the co-host works so much better. You know, we saw that in some of the stuff this week that just works better with two people. So, but I'm not sure who they would go to at this point as a guy. So we'll have to see.
Did you like the barrage of Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner jokes?
I did. I mean, and I like when they do things like this. I like when they sort of mix up the format and they kind of go on a little run. This kind of a run works so much better with two people instead of just Seth doing it over and over again. I don't know that all the jokes were necessarily hilarious about them two divorcing, but the last line when Seth said it was confirmed this week that the comedy and tragedy masks are getting a divorce, I thought that was the funniest line of the night. So. Yeah. I do like them sort of kicking it around back and forth.
Very good. We had a couple visits to the update desk this week. We started with Congressional Chaplain Barry Black, who I guess is a real person?
I guess so. I haven't the slightest idea.
I don't know. Let us pray.
Yeah.
What did you think of Congressional Chaplain Barry Black?
I thought it was cute. I didn't know what it was. I thought it went on a little too long. I will give Keenan that. I thought it was a very good performance. The rhythm of Let Us Pray was very funny. Some of the stuff with the Twizzlers or having to poop and having to pull out your receipt and ripping it into pieces. I thought it was all funny, yeah. But it did feel like it just went on too long.
I think the irony, though, of that is that he mentioned a CVS receipt, which is notoriously long.
Exactly.
CVS receipt, you buy a pack of Tic Tacs and they give you like, you know, 4 feet of receipts.
Exactly. So what did you think? What was your takeaway on Barry Black?
Yeah, I thought it was cute, but I felt like it was too long.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we had Brooks Wheelan shows up to talk about, and I wasn't even sure what the story was, that so people in the Army aren't allowed to get tattoos below their elbow and knee now?
I guess so. If that was the setup to the bit. So I guess that is true. I don't even know.
So here comes Brooks Wheelan to talk about his regrettable tattoos.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. I like him. I felt that it was a little bit awkward. I wonder if this was a stand-up routine that he had been doing that he retrofitted into a Weekend Update monologue. You know, it wasn't quite stand-up comedy. It was conversational. I thought it was okay. I think he could do better things in the future. So maybe something to look forward to. But I don't think I'm going to remember this by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I didn't think his tattoos either were like, you know, a picture of Vanilla Ice's face and a, you know, a Hootie and the Blowfish logo or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like, you know, pretty normal sort of, you know, run-of-the-mill tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I watched it later on in the show. They reran the E-Meth sketch.
Yes.
And now he's nude in that sketch, but I didn't see those tattoos.
No, good eye. Good eye. I did not notice that, but you're right now that you say that.
So I was left wondering, were the tattoos just a joke here, or did they cover up the tattoos for the crystal meth sketch?
That's a good question. It would be, I assumed that they were real tattoos only because the jokes I thought would have been funnier if they invented tattoos just for this. So, but that's a good question. That would be interesting to hear the genesis of it.
Maybe they felt like the character in the E-Meth didn't have those tattoos.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
All right.
So we come out of Weekend Update, and here is another space scene. I was very surprised to see us go back to space.
We're back in space, yes, with an Armageddon sketch.
Yes, and this time, you know, you got to do an Armageddon sketch because Bruce Willis hasn't been back on the show since 1997, so you got to get that in here. And so it's Armageddon, and here is Bobby Moynihan's character of Kirby.
Oh, you know I love Bobby Moynihan. No one loves Bobby Moynihan than me. But as I said back last year, actually I think the third episode of last season, the Daniel Craig episode when we had our first Kirby, it was so stupid and so boring. I love Moynihan's performance, but it just, this character of Kirby, I'm going to kiss my little kitty cat. It just feels like just a very like low rent Chris Farley character. So just did not work for me at all. I was very bored. I couldn't wait to get through it.
Why does the Kirby character have to always be in space?
And always off to the side. Like, he can't sit with everybody else for some reason. I don't understand why. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that wouldn't this have worked just as well, like, in a submarine or... I don't know. But, yeah, the Kirby, the first one was... was it supposed to be like the future? And
it was a Mars mission. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's always in space. And I wonder if they do it again, will he be in space again or will they change the location?
And I do, and here's a larger note, and I haven't read anything about this. I'm just speculating that we, at a certain point in the show, the live sketches started to become what felt like potentially quick rehashes of sketches we've seen before. I wonder if they really hit a wall in the writing this week, because we've talked about some funny sketches, but I do wonder if there was actually a few, very few of them, where they kind of had to look back and go, hey, what? Here's a desperate idea on Thursday evening. What if we do the kitty cat sketch again? You know, and we saw a couple of those, and then really relied on pre-tapes to get through the show. I'd be interested to hear behind the scenes how we ended up with Kirby showing up again.
My favorite part of the Kirby sketch, though, is when there is an explosion and he starts screaming. That does make me I don't know if it's worth it to get to that point, but that, like, when he's like, oh, God, oh, God.
Like, exactly.
Because
exactly.
The same thing happened in the first one, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Moynihan is hilarious. He's very good, so you could give him that.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So then we come to the Centurion vodka party.
Oof, this was another tough one. This is now the show starting to fall a little bit off a cliff. You know, my big take on this sketch was, oh, right, Nassim Pedrad's on the show. Remember her? Remember when she used to be in sketches? I think this was her first and only real screen time this week. As you may know, there's a very good chance that she will be leaving the show in a couple of weeks. And it was...
Well, why is that?
If you remember the former SNL writer John Mulaney and sometimes Weekend Update correspondent, most notable for writing the Stefan sketches with Bill Hader, he had originally done a pilot for a sitcom at NBC, which did not get picked up. In that pilot, Nassim Pedrad played his roommate in that, and after the show did not get picked up by NBC, it actually was picked up by Fox. So they are going into production on the series with John Mulaney as the star, and Nassim Pedrad has been confirmed to play one of the leads in the series.
And what is the show about?
He is a writer for a game show host, I believe, which is played by Martin Short. I probably have that wrong, but she plays his roommate.
Okay.
So I have heard through the comedy nerd blogosphere that it was one of the funniest pilots shot of this season, and it was very surprising that it was not picked up. So I'm interested to see see how it does.
Well, Rich, when you have as many things going on as they do over at NBC, you know, they can't pick up everything. There's just not enough room for good stuff.
You have to make room for Sean Saves the World, so you can't pick up good original comedies.
Maybe rapid fire at the end of the show. I'll ask you a sentence or two on some of these new comedy shows. So then, with the
Centauri vodka.
Yeah, the Centauri vodka. I felt like this sketch was just warming up, and it was over.
It was a weird sketch. It was a weird, I don't know where it was going. It was a cute idea. How bad do you have to feel for John Milhauser, who, his only screen time this week was playing the ass of a horse? That's a tough, I almost wonder if that's worse than not having any screen time as a featured player. That's a tough road to hoe.
It was like, I felt like we had this whole elaborate setup of, okay, there's a guy in the back of the horse that can't breathe. And then it was just over before anything happened.
Yes. Very strange. Very, very strange.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I felt like this was very, very odd. And short. The runtime, what was this, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
It felt long to me, I'll say that.
Very
I can't
fast.
Tell you in minutes, but it definitely felt like it sort of went on and on.
All right. Well, then after the commercial, then we come back with the Taron Killam's character of Eddie, who back during the Justin Bieber episode, now you famously loved Eddie's first appearance.
Gleiss. I was such a huge fan of Gleiss. I thought it was such a fun sketch. And boy, you sometimes cannot capture lightning in a bottle the second time, can you?
Yeah.
Because this was, it defines the term clunker. This was a disaster from the very beginning through the very end. And I don't know why, I thought I thought Taron Killam was good. I even thought Bruce Willis was good. But boy, this was just a clunker of a sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if part of what made it so funny the first time was that Justin Bieber was breaking the whole time. And that Taron Killam just kept getting close, kept trying to make him break even more. And then Bruce Willis wasn't, even breaking a little bit here. And it just did not work as well. And I don't know if it was that Chun did not play as well as Gleiss. I'm sure it was just as funny. But
I think you're dead on. And I sort of consider this the Debbie Downer effect on SNL, which is a sketch becomes infamously funny, but it really was funny because people were legitimately breaking in a sketch. When they had originally done Debbie Downer with Lindsay Lohan's first appearance at Disney, and everyone starts dying laughing and it becomes this. And then they tried to do Debbie Downer like 3 or 4 times the next season, but nobody ever broke and it just wasn't that funny. I think we sort of experienced that with the Eddie character this week.
Yeah, it was really good with Bieber because it was like, Bieber was just like so close. Like he couldn't even keep a straight face. And Bruce Willis, I thought he looked a lot like Walter White from the first season of Breaking Bad in this
sketch. Ooh, good call. Yeah, good call.
Walter White costume.
Yeah.
Now, were the rest of the characters the same as in the sketch with Bieber?
You know, it's a good question. I don't remember. I think,
I would say Sudeikis was there.
Oh, well, Sudeikis was the dad.
Yeah.
That also might be what was sort of missing, is because in the Gleiss sketch, the dad comes back and sort of rips him a new one. And that was pretty funny. So, yeah, that was just across the board tough.
Yeah. Sudeikis was always good as the angry dad.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we have a pre-taped piece about people playing beer pong in a fraternity.
Yeah, this is really, I have to imagine, written by, two of our new featured players, Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney, who played the two frat guys in the sketch. They were, as you may or may not know, they were part of a comedy troupe out here in Los Angeles known as Good Neighbor. They were sort of had some real cred for doing a bunch of sketches on YouTube. SNL hired the two of the three actors from that sketch. They also hired a third guy, Dave McCary, to be an in-house director for them. So I'm imagining that the three of them, in Lonely Island style, that the three, Beck, Kyle, and Dave, probably wrote and Dave directed this. So kind of an interesting sketch. I didn't think it was that great. I thought it was cute that it's basically frat guys playing beer pong, but they're really like a bunch of six-year-olds. I thought it was more clever than funny, but I thought, you know, when we're at, 12:50 a.m., pretty solid stuff.
Yeah. I liked drawing the roller coaster of your dreams and ignore the rules of physics. And if it's good, we'll hang it on the
wall.
I did
like the real life baseball card thing that they did. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Now, so this same group, are they the same people that wrote the sketch last week, which was the digital short at the end of the episode about Kyle's office?
Yeah, Kyle's older brother. I assume so. I mean, I think given that, again, those two guys were featured most prominently in the sketch, and it was digital, it was most certainly them. So, yeah, they're doing good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Katy Perry's second performance, I've got to be honest, I did not know the song, and I did not stick around much for that.
No, it reminded me a lot of just me and my sister playing with the box fan when we were 6 years old during the summer, and just playing with things blowing in the fan. And I didn't think the song was particularly great, and I don't know what they were going for. I mean, I'll give Katy Perry credit that it wasn't just her standing there and singing as most singers do, but it didn't do anything for me.
And then we had the E-Meth sketch again. And since we didn't talk about it in the Tina Fey episode, I guess let's talk about it here.
Yeah, I mean, funny sketch. I mean, I like the fact that we're making fun of e-cigarettes. I thought that was a nice sort of take on things. Fast, moved fast, good use of some of the new featured players. Aaron Paul, I think in one of the 16 cameos he made on the Tina Fey episode, nice little tag there. So I thought the, solid performances, good commercial parody.
I felt like Aaron Paul, he made three different cameos on that Tina Fey episode, and they were all like Breaking Bad and meth jokes.
Yes.
I feel like if I was Aaron Paul, I think I'd be a little annoyed that the three times they want me to come on and do, I know it was the same weekend as the Breaking Bad finale, but still.
Yeah, I think if I'm Aaron Paul, I'm just happy to be asked, and I think every minute of screen time I'm going to take without questioning it. So I don't know that he would have been annoyed by it. I know that as an audience member, I went from, hey, to, oh boy. All right, wrap it up.
All right. So let's go back in time a little bit anything else you want to give any awards or any sort of accommodations for this episode? Anything you want to say was your favorite?
I was just going to say, I thought, I definitely would say, I thought this was, we didn't mention, I won't go into specific jokes, but I thought just as actual jokes go, this was the best Weekend Update of the season. I thought they just had a lot of actually funny jokes. And I would say 24-hour energy for dating actresses is probably my favorite sketch of the night. I thought that was just really well done and really had me laughing the whole way.
All right, but let's go back a little bit to the other two shows that we didn't talk about and just talk about any really great highlights or really great misses. And I have to say, I really liked the Miley Cyrus episode.
Isn't that kind of the shocker that I was so ready to just be like, oh boy. And I thought, you know, maybe it didn't have the high highs of other sketches from other episodes. But I thought this was the most solid episode of SNL in a long time, like right through to the very end. Everything was either good or pretty good. I thought that they overall did a really nice job on this episode.
I've done a real 180 on Miley Cyrus in these last couple of weeks because, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to anything. And obviously, I didn't follow any of the Hannah Montana, and I was too old to acknowledge any of that. And then when I saw that VMA stuff, I was like, oh, that's it. Miley Cyrus has gone off the deep end. She's lost her mind. She just wants attention. But I'm finding her to be very calculated. And I think that she has very smart people managing her career.
Well, it's interesting because I was going to bring up a very similar observation, but from a very different perspective, which is I thought she did an absolutely fine job hosting. I think she was not particularly great, but she never sort of held us back. But like many of the young stars who come on with a little bit of an image crisis to deal with, I just could feel the calculation. I could feel, when she was making fun of herself in the pre-VMA sketch that was the cold open, I could hear the PR team in the crafting of the lines and the managing of the message of that she smokes pot and maybe this and that. So even though I thought she did a good job, I'm getting a little tired of reading afterwards about, oh, Miley Cyrus made so much fun of herself and she was such a good sport. And I like went back and watched some of the sketches. I'm like, you know what? She actually really didn't make fun of herself that much. She was in scenes that were funny playing herself about things that she did, but actually there were very few jabs at her that weren't complete softballs and complete non-jokes. So that, not to take away from the show, but whether it's her, whether it's Justin Bieber, whether it's Lindsay Lohan, I do get a little tired of the like, oh, I'm going to come on to mock myself, but then not really mock myself.
Yeah, I wonder how much the Vanessa Bayer, Miley Cyrus impression has caused all of this Miley Cyrus like overcompensation to go so completely the other direction.
That could be, yeah. And boy, wasn't it, on the related note, wasn't it interesting how Vanessa Bayer went from, I think she got less screen time in the season premiere than an extra, to suddenly, you know, dominating the Miley Cyrus show up through the closing credits when Miley Cyrus was holding Vanessa Bayer's hand while she said goodnight. So it really was a rare star turn for Vanessa Bayer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Good for her. opening sketch, I would say, not to go through all of them, I thought, you know, as a cold open goes, was pretty funny. The only thing I wanted to bring up, Taron Killam was very funny as Robin Thicke. But Bobby Moynihan walking on as the teddy bear going, we shouldn't be doing this. This is for kids. Mm-hmm. Was, I thought, one of the funny Bobby Moynihan moments. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, that was very good. I did like that very much. I also really like the 50 Shades of Grey screen test. I love it when they do this.
Yeah, you know, again, it's the carousel of impressions. I thought this was good. I didn't like it as much. I didn't feel like there were any amazing breakout impressions. You know, you don't have, you know, Bill Hader anymore to kind of come out with a great, you know, Alan Alda or something.
What was the best one?
My personal favorite, and I think this was actually a little controversial, was Nassim Pedrad playing Aziz Ansari. I thought that was really funny. I thought it was the great energy, nailed it, and just big and over the top. That's what I want to see in these kind of like just quick takes on people. So I thought that was very funny. I thought, and I hate to say it because Bobby M is my guy, but Bobby Moynihan, Seth Rogen was the worst. I don't even think it was an impression. I think it was just Bobby Moynihan in an outfit just talking. But overall, I always liked these and I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah, always fun. I liked Christoph Waltz.
Yes, that was very cute. Yeah. Yes, very cute.
And I also really, really liked on this episode the We Did Stop the Government song parody. of the Miley Cyrus. You know, We Did Stop video, which is a really crazy video, and there's a lot of great parodies on YouTube. But I thought that they really, really nailed it with this one. I watched it several times over the past week, and I loved it.
Had you seen the Miley Cyrus video before you saw this one?
No, I don't think I had seen the video beforehand. But then I watched the video, the SNL parody, and then I went back and I watched the video on YouTube a bunch of times. And then I watched a bunch of other parodies of the video on YouTube a bunch of times. So it was really, really well done. They really hit all of the key things.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I thought it was really great, and I have never and still have not seen the original video it was parodying. I just could tell, you know, it's just so clever, so different, you know, Tarum just throwing himself into that character so well. It was very funny, so I agree that that was definitely a highlight.
And, yeah, the funniest moment is Jay Farrow as Obama looking in the window. And
yes, that was very funny.
Yes. Yeah. That was very good. But Rich, what was your favorite sketch from the Miley Cyrus episode?
Well, without question, my favorite sketch was towards the end of the show, was the Morning Miami sketch. I thought that was just hilarious. This was, a morning show in Miami. You know, we've got Kate McKinnon, Bobby Moynihan, and Miley Cyrus as news anchors of a morning show recording a series of promos. And just the combination of the writing of how stupid the promos were with the moments in between taping of just the despair and just sort of lost looks on them in between them was just hilarious. I thought it was just really, really funny. Definitely my favorite sketch of the night.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny too. I really did like it. What was your favorite thing coming up this week on Good Morning Miami?
I think it was, if I remember correctly, Jeff Dunham's puppets are in the studio. Jeff Dunham is not. Let's see how funny those puppets really are.
Yeah, very, very funny.
That made me laugh a lot. Yeah. I also would say in the sketch, I did like, although Weekend Update was rather dull. Again, Kate McKinnon coming on as the woman who's reviews Grand Theft Auto 5. I thought that was very funny. I thought she did a good job. So. And I really like, instead of having a lot of characters that she's trying to set as like reoccurring characters, just playing characters like whether, as you know, she said, you played the Russian woman who had gotten hit by a meteor last year, or the Cecilia Jimenez, the woman who repainted the painting of Jesus from the Daniel Craig episode. Just a lot of really sharp Weekend Update stuff that's just one-offs. I always like her doing that stuff a lot. So good job on her.
Now, on the other side of the ledger, I have to say, I think that my least favorite sketch on SNL is the Girlfriends talk show.
Oh, boy. I am not going to argue with you on that. I mean, I never thought it was great. And the fact that we're still doing it was just really tough.
I think it's the third time, right?
Yes, the third time. Yeah. I think Katy Perry was maybe the first one, as we were talking about what was on that Katy Perry sketch, the episode that she hosted. I think that was the first episode of Girlfriends, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, just really tough for me. Just trying to sit through it was just, yep, we get it. Same old, same old. And I actually feel like they're even losing what the focus was of sort of like, you know, the, you know, AD Bryant fighting for the friendship with Cecily Strong over whoever the guest is. So just, oof, that was a tough one.
Yeah. I'm done with that. I'm out on Girlfriends talk show.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
And I'm trying to see if there was anything else that was particularly memorable or interesting to talk about.
I can say, as always, I always find Piers Morgan live to be a miss. Once again, not a fan. So enough said there.
I thought there was a couple of funny cutaways there. And again, here is Arianna Huffington. And, you know, it's just such a weird impression.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, she doesn't really say anything funny. And then she's flirting with Piers Morgan the way she used to flirt with Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
So that was odd.
Yeah, I agree across the board. Yeah.
All right. So what about now the Tina Fey episode? Now, admittedly, I was a bit distracted with the Tina Fey episode weekend. That was the weekend that my son was born, that Nicole and I had gone to the hospital on Saturday on Saturday evening, and Nicole had her labor induced, so we did have the TV on, and we were sitting, you know, around for a while waiting for things to happen. And so I did see the episode, but I admittedly my attention was other places.
Sure. You know, I would say my 60-second review, because obviously I watched it like it was, the most important thing in the world happening at that moment, because that's my life. I thought overall it was solid until update, and then it completely fell off a cliff. I actually don't think that Tina Fey did anything all that interesting across the board. And it was interesting that it was a show that, interestingly, not in one sketch, but in the sketch and in the monologue, really focused on the fact that there were so many new featured players, and yet in those sketches did not actually give those featured players anything to do except kind of stand around or dance in silly outfits. So kind of good energy to start off the show. The monologue was cute. Nothing special. I think one of probably the more buzzed about things of the episode was the girls parody that they did. Mm-hmm. With a new girl, Noelle Wells, doing an impression of Lena Dunham. Which I did not think was that good, actually. And I think Noelle Wells is a pretty good impressionist, but this was not particularly great. And Tina Fey was okay in it. And then we got into a couple of pretty funny sketches. I don't know if you. If you saw, probably my favorite was the game show that Kenan Thompson hosted, which was New Cast Member or Arcade Fire.
It's a tough game.
That was a very fun game and a tough game. Although I think rarely, transfer the Bobby Moynihan Steen Ceiling moment of the week to Lorne Michaels, normally when Lorne Michaels does a cameo, it's very predictable and it's very obvious. But when they ask him who's the new cast member, and he just looks over at Keenan and goes, the black one. And I thought that was hilarious. So
yeah, there were some funny moments in that sketch when Keenan berates the new cast members, like, no, you do not get to do that.
that was
funny. And then when Lauren comes on and says the black one, and Keenan says, what, he doesn't, I've been here for 10 years.
Yeah, that was very, very funny. So I thought that was funny. I liked the Express Air sketch when they're letting everybody on the plane except, before, Category 2. It was very cute. I actually did like, I thought the visual gag of the night was definitely Kenan Thompson with the ridiculously oversized carry-on bag. And it was just like a refrigerator box dress to look like a carry-on bag, which he was trying to wheel on. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, it was cute.
And then Bobby Moynihan walking on as the guy who's farting, and just like the Bobby Moynihan face made me laugh. So I thought that was really
farters,
funny.
Yeah, farters. Now boarding. Yeah. So it's good. All right, so the next SNL coming up is, I forget, who is the next host?
It is, I'm suddenly blanking myself on who it is. Wait, I will tell you in a second, because I just... Who did I say was up next? Where did I put it? I don't even know. It is in two. You know what? I can't find. I'll find it in a second.
Yeah.
I can't believe I don't know.
I remember
this.
It was nobody that I was that excited about.
It was one of those like, oh, Edward Norton, maybe. Yeah. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds right. In 2 weeks.
Okay. He'll host. Very strange, by the way. This is a very every episode of SNL that I can ever remember include, since I was a kid, they announce the host going into the first commercial break. And this one they did after the second commercial break. So I thought that was very odd.
People hanging
on? And they hadn't announced it ahead of time. So I almost wonder if they hadn't signed the contract until, right down to the very last second.
Until like 11:45?
Yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's kind of what it felt like to me. Like,
is
really?
Ed Norton promoting something, or is he on the Bruce Willis schedule?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know of anything that he's promoting. He doesn't seem like a big promoting kind of guy.
Is there anybody else that you've heard is due to host this fall?
No, I mean, it's a really, they're very, very tight-lipped this season. I haven't, there hasn't been any rumors or anything like that. So I don't really know what's going on.
The buzz is, oh, SNL's a down year. Now, I wonder if they're having trouble attracting hosts right now. So you get, you know, a Tina Fey who would come back under almost any circumstances and a desperate for media attention, Miley Cyrus, and Bruce Willis, who's on for no reason. And I wonder if they are having trouble locking down some really great hosts.
I mean, you could absolutely be right. It just seems so surprising to me because I feel like no matter what, I mean, why wouldn't people be interested in showing up? I mean, SNL is always, it's always solid. It's always a good way to promote. I mean, I do wonder if if there's a lot of people that are going to be waiting to, does Will Ferrell wait for Anchorman 2 to come out? And it could be that a lot of people are a little bit like, my big project isn't coming out till the beginning of next year, so they're holding off. I don't know.
But I would say in the broad strokes for the new season of the show, I feel like SNL is just as – the quality is exactly the same as it was in the spring.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I will not say that while we may miss Bill Hader, it's not like the show has gone off a cliff without Bill Hader and Sudeikis and Fred Armisen and anybody else that's not here.
I totally agree. I mean, I always say that, the star of Saturday Night Live is the writing. No matter, certainly, Hader had the ability to save a sketch, that was tanking a little bit, but so does Bobby Moynihan. Good writing is a great SNL. Bad writing is a bad SNL. It doesn't matter to some extent who's in the cast. So we'll see what happens. Yes, we were correct. October 25th is Edward Norton, who has never hosted before, featuring musical guest Janelle Monáe. Monáe. I have no idea who that is.
Don't know who she is.
But I'm not a cool guy. So,
yeah. Anything else SNL related, or can I hit you with some bullet points on the new comedies?
Well, I would only say as a couple of small things, just fun. I don't know if people know. New on the writing staff this year is John Mulaney's younger sister. So I thought that was an interesting little nepotism. Claire Mulaney is now one of the writers, as is Michael Chee, who's a great stand-up comic that people may know if they're a fan of comedy, and a guy named Mikey Day. Mikey Day is a groundling performer who I aggressively tried for you and I. Rob,
yes, I didn't know this.
The day.
Yeah,
yes, he's someone who we went after for an internet show that we did in 2005, 2006, when it was at the time was starring in Nick Cannon's Wild and Out improv show, and is now one of the writers on the show. So good on him,
because
he was always very funny.
Yeah.
In transition to your next question, I would say I am pleasantly surprised, and surprised is the key word, that I have been enjoying the new Andy Samberg comedy Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox Tuesday nights.
Well, Rich, should you be getting too attached to Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Because I heard some buzz that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is going to get the hook pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm in no way surprised. I mean, first of all, the show before it, Dads, is miserably bad.
But I heard Dads is getting picked up for more shows.
Is it? That really is just, it's so stunning to me. Maybe it got a lot better after the pilot, but, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in sort of this weird spot. I mean, it's before New Girl, and there couldn't be anything, less compatible with it. So, I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Okay. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you're enjoying, but I'm saying don't get attached.
Right, right.
What about some other shows? Any of the keep going with Fox. Anything else from Fox?
I'm trying to even think of what else Fox has. Dads, I thought, was fairly unwatchable. I'm trying to even think of what else they have on their radar right now.
All right, what about let's switch over to NBC.
NBC, I can always talk about. Sean Saves the World. I know people like the show. I do not understand why. It is so far, it just felt very, very predictable to me, not particularly interesting to me.
I was so mad so, Nicole set a season pass for Sean Saves the World.
Say again?
I was so mad that Nicole set a season pass for Sean Saves the World the other day.
Yeah, it just feels like in the weirdest, like in the pilot, as soon as it started, I was just taken by just, and this is such a silly thing to say, but how much makeup Sean Hayes was put on him. I don't think he requested it, but it feels like a show that, you know, is from the Will and Grace era that TV has passed by. It just really kind of doesn't work for me. So that was kind of a miss. Welcome to the Family is a tough one because I really like everyone in it. It's a really solid cast, it just feels so formulaic and we've seen it before. And then the Michael J. Fox show is just really tough. I mean, and I will mm-hmm. be very politically incorrect here and say when the show focuses on the fact that he has Parkinson's, it is clever. It is different. It is taking chances that you couldn't take if you didn't have an actor who famously has the disease you're kind of mocking. But when the show focuses on the traditional stuff of a sitcom, you know, about the kids or about the wife, you're then just dealing with an actor who is not nearly as a dynamic as a performer as he was before he was sick. And I just don't think the show holds up nearly as well. And I'm sort of like, I feel like I'm trying to push my way through it because I like the Michael J. Fox story more than I like the Michael J. Fox show.
Yeah. And is Marie from Breaking Bad, Betsy Brandt, is she like a lot taller than Michael J. Fox?
Yes, by a lot.
I find that very, very disconcerting also.
Yes, yes. And she's good on the show. I would say in general, she's good. But overall, just a tough one.
I mean, I don't know why that seems so odd, but it seems like she seems like a good foot taller than Michael J. Fox.
Yes, very much so. Very, very much so.
I don't know. I tried to watch a little bit of it, but it did not catch my attention. What about over on CBS? Have you watched any of the new CBS shows? Already we had a Casualty. We Are Men We Are Done.
Is that, I believe that's a show with Jerry O'Connor,
Jerry O'Connell, Monk, Cal Penn.
I always think Jerry O'Connell is good, but as soon as I see his name in a credit list, I know not to watch it because the show's going to get canceled.
Yeah.
I pulled up on that, immediately, so I did not watch it. I'd say the one that I did watch, I've seen a couple. I saw Mom, which is cute. I think it will probably be around for a while. I think it's fine. It's absolutely in the Chuck Lorre family of shows. You know you are watching a Chuck Lorre show when you watch it. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm.
The Millers?
I'd say
The Millers?
I have not watched The Millers yet, and I sort of don't want to watch it. I mean, I know I will watch it, but as I've said before, Will Arnett is one of my favorite go-to supporting role actors that there is, but Will Arnett as a lead actor just never works for me. So maybe this show, The Millers, will change, but it's very telling that I just can't bring myself to watch it. I select it on the TiVo, but I don't press select often, and I go, nah, let me watch something else.
Yeah, I did watch one episode the other night. Nicole recorded a bunch of shows, and I finally watched it. And I thought it was, you know, it was about what you expect. You know, if you like multi-cam, you know, comedy shows on CBS, then you will probably like The Millers. And if you don't like those, if you don't like Two and a Half Men and shows like that, then you probably will not like The Millers.
Right, right. No, I think you're right. So I will give it a shot. I'll check it out. The Crazy Ones, have you watched the new Robin Williams?
I watched a couple minutes of it, and I'm sort of like confused if the show is supposed to be a comedy or a drama.
Well, you are not alone. You and I are in the same. I mean, I think when David E. Kelly tries to do comedy, it comes off as confusing. Is this supposed to be comedy or is this supposed to be drama? Just because that's not what he does well.
Because I like serialized drama, but this is like serialized dramedy, which I'm not a big fan of.
And it's not even dramedy. I just think it's comedy with heart that doesn't always work. You know, it's got a good, it's absolutely a cast of sort of the cast offs. You know, it's, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar, who's obviously we know from Buffy and many other things that did not work. It's got Bob Benson from Mad Men. And then it's got, you
not
know,
great,
it's got
Bob.
Sorry?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. And the guy from the newsroom, you know, Jerry, the a-hole news producer, and then the assistant is the one person that inexplicably got cut from the Mindy project for no reason last year. Yeah. So I don't know. I tell you, I can feel when Robin Williams is on one of those improvised runs and he's just kind of winging it and everyone else is in awe. And I just kind of sit with just expressionless, just waiting for it to end because I just don't find it funny. And yet there are funny moments to the show. So I think I'm watching it more out of obligation because I want to see what they can do. But I would be very surprised if this captured my attention enough that I continued watching.
All right. So anything else you wanted to mention or you want to wrap it up?
I would just say quickly, Trophy Wife, I did see on ABC, as well as Back in the Game. I don't think we'll see either of these shows last. I think they're both good efforts, but kind of are fundamentally missing, sort of connecting with me, at least as an audience member. So I think ABC is probably in trouble when it comes to new comedies.
Sounds like it. All right. Yeah. So we want to hear from you guys. We love hearing your feedback, both good and bad. So leave us comments on robhasawebsite.com and let us know what you thought about all of our takes on SNL and all this fall comedy first impressions.
And how much you're looking forward to the hilarious Ed Norton bringing his brand of comedy to Studio 8H in October.
It's going to be fun. all right, Rich, anything you're working on the rich-fix.com?
You know, it's been a little bit of a hiatus with a new job in town, but I'm going to pick it up and do a little more work on that. So, but still posting about SNL-related stuff as we talk about this stuff, so please check it out.
All right. And for everybody else, we've got, you know, plenty other podcasts coming up during the week. And Rich, do you watch The Walking Dead?
I do not. I have not. I've never been a Walking Dead fan. So.
All right. Well, we're going to dip our toe into that water and we'll recap the season premiere of The Walking Dead. Plus, we have Amazing Race and Survivor podcasts coming up during the week as well. So plenty for you guys to check out on robhasawebsite.com. So we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.